And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of order, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hillary Clinton. And as you know, she, most people know, she's a world-class liar. Just look at her pathetic email server statements or her phony landing. Or her phony landing in Bosnia, where she said she was under attack, and the attack turned out to be young girls handing her flowers, a total and self-serving lie. Brian Williams' career was destroyed for saying less. Just remember that.
Well, right now, that's Donald Trump, of course. He needs no introduction. He spoke this morning in a very stirring speech, making it very clear what the battle lines are. Do you want more Islamists in America? Do you want more anti-gay, anti-woman, anti-American immigrants? Or do you want fewer? I mean, it's really, to me, it breaks down to that. So she's giving a speech now in Raleigh, which, as expected, is ludicrous. We know all political speeches are ludicrous. Hers has risen to a new low, or shall I say fallen to a new low. She's going to tax the very corporations that made her and her husband worth $300 million. They started with nothing when they left the presidency. Now they're worth $300 million. The Clinton Foundation, the Clinton cash machine, as we well know, receives money from foreign donors, corporations, and here she's saying the rich need to be taxed more. Corporations can't evade taxes. The tax code is written to favor the rich. Who does she mean? Does she mean Google? Does she mean Microsoft? Does she mean Facebook? What does she mean the rich? Which corporations are not paying their fair share, Hillary? Because everyone I know is paying more than their fair share. So maybe you know some corporations that aren't, because I don't know any that aren't paying their fair share. I think they're the ones who support you and Harry Reid. They're the ones who support you and Nancy Pelosi. So she hasn't given a press conference with any questions for over 200 days. Over 200 days since the last press conference. Now she's giving a speech. So what can I say? Which side I'm on? You know which side I'm on. You know exactly which side I'm on. Is he perfect? No. Is he flawed? Yes. Does he have a bit of the blondie in him? Yes. So what? So what? That's what we need in order to defeat our enemies. I told you that from my point of view, the most important issue is national security. Without national security, we're all dead, or we're slaves. Right now, we have Islamists running wild in the streets. We have Islamists running wild in the Obama administration. And Obama will be gone, hopefully, by the beginning of January. There'll be a new president. Hopefully, it's Donald Trump. And he will release the terriers on the rats. He will release hundreds of terriers to catch the rats and snap them in their jaws. Do you know when I say the Islamists are running in the streets, do you know what happened? Did you hear what happened or didn't make it to Wolf Blitzer's earbud? Remember the Orlando murderer, the Muslim guy, whatever his name. I don't remember his last name, Mateen. I can't remember his name from 1 minute to the next. Remember the wife drove him to the shooting? You know the FBI doesn't know where she is? Can you believe what I just said to you? The FBI claims it does not know where Mateen's wife is, the Orlando shooter. How is that even possible? Did they let her go? Are they hiding her? Did they release her so she wouldn't be able to give out the fact that it was an ISIS plot? Where is she? How could they lose her? Well, Obama's running the country. That's how they lost her. So as I say, when Trump becomes president, I think that the terriers will be released and all the rats that are running wild in the streets and running wild in the government will be snapped up in a very short order. So that's why I'm voting for Trump. The rest is gravy as far as I'm concerned. And the best example of the insanity or derangement of this administration, and you do need to hear it, is the speech that Obama gave after Orlando calling for love. Not calling for war against ISIS and crushing them wherever they can be found, but love. He actually gave a Beatles speech, "All We Need Is Love," but it got worse. The new watchword from this deranged administration is love. So in his footsteps, there comes Al Sharpton Lynch, in a speech that will have to go down in history as one of the most deranged, disconnected in political history. Listen to this soundbite about how to fight ISIS. Listen.
The message of Orlando goes far beyond one night of unspeakable terror. The message of Orlando that I have seen today and what the American people have seen is a message of determination to remove hatred and intolerance from our midst, to live our lives freely and without fear, and to stay true to the principles of liberty, justice, and equality that define America at our best. We stand with you to say that the good in this world far outweighs the evil, that our common humanity transcends our differences, and that our most effective response to terror and to hatred is compassion, it's unity, and it's love.
I'm speechless, and I'm in the business of speaking. This woman has weaponized stupidity. Loretta Lynch has weaponized stupidity and absurdity. There's almost no words to describe how incompetent she is. If she actually doesn't believe what she just said, she could hardly read the words written for her by someone more foolish than you could imagine. So let's try to put this in context for those of you who believe Loretta Lynch is qualified to be Attorney General, as much as Jay Johnson is qualified to be Department of Homeland Security's chief, as much as Obama was ever qualified to be president, because they're all connected. They were all appointed by him. He appointed those two people. She made a laughable statement that we should fight terror with love. So let's see. We go to the battlefield where we have our heroes on the battlefield, and we tell them not to shoot the enemy, but to put a flower in the edge of the end of their M4s, put a flower in their barrel, and go out and kiss an ISIS killer on the lips. What in the world do you think this will lead to? Do I have to put it in context for you? Do you realize if our troops in World War II had a Loretta Lynch or an Obama in power, they never could have gone to war and defeated Hitler's Germany? Do you know how severe that war was? Nah, what's the point of talking to you? Do you know what it's like to face an enemy in a schoolyard? Do you know what it's like to even face a schoolyard bully who wants to punch you in the nose, let alone somebody wants to cut your throat and rape your wife and burn your village down? So, I mean, I could go on this all day long, and it's not going to make any difference, because I wrote this when I was 18, and I think it still holds true. Those who know will always know. Those who don't will never. There is look at the faces of the dummies that Hillary Clinton picked to sit behind her during her idiotic speech just now in Raleigh, North Carolina. The dumbest looking people you could ever gather from the streets of America. It was 80, 90, 95% dumb white women, two white males who look like they're on medication, and a slew of black women waving flags saying this is Clinton country, etc. Is this her demographic? I'm afraid it is her demographic. Okay, so this is agitprop. We understand that that's the same for everyone who runs for office. There's no grist here. I get that. She takes tens of millions of dollars from corporations that evade taxes, and says she wants to tax corporations. The best thing I can do for you is play for you some of the sound bites that we gathered on the Savage Nation and invite you to call on this issue. I think this is the most important issue. The phone number is 855-47282. And I want to go backwards for a minute and talk about yesterday's program. Raise your hand if you listened to yesterday's program. I see thousands of hands going up in the big auditorium. Yesterday I did something I have not done in many years on this show, which is I went to an almost all-guest format. I hadn't done that since the 90s when I was a local host. And yet I had people calling and emailing me, telling me it was one of the best shows they've heard in many years because no one does this in radio. I had my attorney, Dan Horowitz, on to talk about liberty in an age of terror. And then I had a Muslim woman on who was trying to reform Islam. It changed the ground in talk radio. But the problem is there aren't guests like that around for a daily show. And so we can't just dig people up and say, come on the Savage Nation and let's talk. Either I have someone on who has something to say or have a relationship with something to say, or what's the point of having them on? It's like dead radio. So going back to what we are left with, is the news. This is news talk. Never forget what talk radio is. I'm giving away one of my secrets. And why I will probably win the National Radio Hall of Fame contest because I know all the secrets. All you got to do is text my name, Savage, to 36500, and you will hear my message, Borders, Language, and Culture, ringing clearly from sea to shining sea. I want to play a few things that Trump said today that are so important. The most important soundbite, I think, is clip number 17, Robert. Let's hear that right now in the Savage Nation.
Hillary Clinton wants to bring in people who believe women should be enslaved and gays put to death. Maybe her motivation lies among the more than 1,000 foreign donations Hillary failed to disclose while at the State Department. Hillary Clinton may be the most corrupt person ever to seek the presidency of the United States.
Now, can anyone argue with that statement? I can't. She wants to bring in Islamists, unvetted Muslims from Syria and North Africa, a good percentage of whom believe women should be enslaved and gays put to death. We know that for a fact. She knows, and we know, that she's received more than 1,000 foreign donations undisclosed while at the State Department, which she used as a piggy bank. So that statement speaks for itself. In the next one, you will find out that Trump is not afraid to say that she's an absolute thief. Listen to 18.
Hillary Clinton has perfected the politics of personal profit and even theft. She ran the State Department like her own personal hedge fund, doing favors for oppressive regimes and many others, and really many, many others, in exchange for cash. Pure and simple, folks. Then when she left, she made $21.6 million giving speeches to Wall Street banks and other special interests, and in less than 2 years, secret speeches that she does not want to reveal under any circumstances to the public. I wonder why.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Together, she and Bill made $153 million giving speeches to lobbyists, CEOs, and foreign governments in the years since 2001. They totally own her, and that will never, ever change, including if she ever became president. God help us.
Look, in a campaign, everyone calls the other one a liar. Everyone says they're going to do things they can't do. We know that. I'm a realist. I'm not a party apparatchik. I was never invited to the White House. I never had dinner with George Bush. I never voted along party lines. I've never registered as a Republican. I don't know if you know any of this stuff, but it's important to know. And I'm not comparing myself to others. You can check their own backgrounds. It doesn't matter what others do. All that matters is what I do. And I'm telling you that from my point of view as an American, concerned about my grandchild, concerned about the country that's been so good to my family, even though we've struggled from the minute my grandfather landed at Ellis Island. No one gave us anything. There was no secret handshake. There was no money waiting for him. He worked his heart out and died at 47. My father worked his heart out and died at 57. I've been working since I'm 5 years old because I choose to, not because I have to. In that sense, I want to make sure there's an America left. What Obama has done in the last 8 years is beyond comprehension to most of you. You would never accept that it actually is being done to you. And I think it all boils down to his hatred, both for the country, out of a sort of a malice that is borderline schizophrenic, if not outright insane. A country that's done so much for a man of such low character is hated by that very same man. Probably he hates the country for having bought his lies. I mean, I've read that analysis of others in the past. Did anyone who would elect a man as such low quality to such a high place, he has to have contempt for such a country, thinking that they're stupid, to have fallen for his BS. So now, Trump says he's going to end amnesty and curb illegal immigration. And what is he going to do that for? He's going to use that money to help the poor in the inner cities get better jobs, meaning blacks, in plain English. Inner cities, as you know, is a code word And he's trying to appeal to African-American people and saying, he's right, though. I don't know how anyone can't see this, but okay, that's another story, how they can't see it. How could bringing in millions of illegal aliens from Mexico, Honduras, El Salvador, now Syria and Africa, how can that help poor people in inner cities? How is that even possible? Every black politician should be supporting Trump, by definition. But, of course, they're not, because the money is on the other side. He says he's going to make better trade deals and bring jobs back to the inner cities. I don't know if he can do that. I mean, you can make a better trade deal. I don't know if that's going to transfer the jobs. I know that in my neighborhood, which is not in an inner city, I live near a so-called inner city community called Marin City, which is just north of Sausalito. And I know there was a Best Buy there, and it lasted only a few years. And now it looks like Detroit. It's been boarded up. They tried, the county tried to force this corporation to put a Best Buy in this neighborhood, which they did. And for reasons you could well understand, it's now boarded up. The rest of the county is thriving. There's no other boarded up stores in the whole county. But down there, in that community, I think through pilferage and whatever, and then people were afraid to go down there, it's gone. There's nothing there. It's a boarded up warehouse. So I really don't know that doing better trade deals is going to change people's attitudes about what they're responsible for and what people have to do on their own. Trump also vowed this morning to support our police and law enforcement because we can't ever forget the great job they do. Trump also promised to appoint great Supreme Court justices. He said that Americans, if he wins, are going to start believing in the future of our country. And he vows to make America rich and safe again. Well, I doubt that could ever happen. I believe that his attitude of optimism will be positive for the nation, and people will be proud to exhibit what they have worked for instead of hiding it and walking around like beaten dogs. That's the biggest thing, is morale.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
The choice in this election is a choice between taking our government back from the special interests or surrendering really the last scrap of independence to the total and complete control of people like the Clintons. Those are the stakes. Hillary Clinton wants to be president, but she doesn't have the temperament or, as Bernie Sanders said very strongly, the judgment to be president. Her campaign slogan is, I'm with her. You know what my response is to that? I'm with you, the American people.
Very good rhetoric. Now, Trump, let's specifically look at him, says massive factories will come back, inner cities will be rebuilt. He says construction is what he knows, and wages will be going up along with new jobs, jobs, jobs. Trump says Clinton's open borders policies will drive down wages and get rid of even more jobs. Well, the question is, how could anyone who is African-American or Hispanic and poor vote for Clinton when she wants to bring in millions and millions of workers to compete against them for low-wage jobs? Trump says he will change immigration rules to give unemployed Americans opportunities to get good jobs. Now, I don't know how he's going to do that. I don't understand how that's going to work, frankly. You change immigration rules to give unemployed Americans opportunities to get good jobs. See, look, there's a problem with this rhetoric, and that is reality. I read of a Buddhist monk who said, never argue with reality. When I'm facing a problem in my life that I can't work out of my head, I go back to that statement, never argue with reality. In other words, what is that reality? You just got fired? You can argue in your head all you want that you shouldn't have been fired, it was unfair, the person who did it was no good. But the reality is you were fired. Or, God forbid, you get a diagnosis that you have cancer. Don't argue with reality. Shouldn't have happened to you. It's unfair. God's no good. You better live with reality. Don't argue with reality. Go and get treatment. Well, it's the same with the statement by Donald Trump that he will change immigration rules to give unemployed Americans opportunities to get good jobs. Well, do they want to work? Are you telling me that the 50-some-odd percent of bums in America who don't work are going to work? Have you driven around a city recently and seen all of the bums who don't work during the day? They don't work. Why would they work? All of a sudden you think they're going to take a low-wage job? I'm a realist. So each morning I bicycle by a construction zone where these guys, they're all Mexicans or Central Americans. They look mainly like Mexicans, the hardest workers I've ever seen in my life, and they're strong. These are strong people. And they work from morning till dusk without complaining. They work from morning till it's dark without complaining. They built 5 houses in a row. Now they're building 4 new houses. And I've watched them dig the ditches. I've watched them lay the rebar. I've watched them pour the cement. I watched them fix the cement. From the beginning to the end, I watched these men build these houses. Are you telling me that the poor in America are suddenly going to take jobs in construction if we bar illegal immigrants? Are you telling me that the poor in America who have grown up without working, who have grown up hating the country, who have grown up living on the government dole, are suddenly going to be able to get up at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the morning and show up at a job site at 5:30 or 6? Because most of these men commute for 2 hours and they don't complain about it. They can't live in the neighborhood. They commute for 2 hours, they show up at 6:30, and they break their backs all day long on a job site. Are you telling me that in America we're going to have people take those jobs if we stop bringing in illegal immigrants? No, they're not going to. This is the problem. I think we have a permanent welfare class in this country, and I don't see how you're ever going to make them work, personally. You could say all you want. They should work. They have to work. They will work if they have to work. You can say all you want. They're not going to work. They're not going to work. They're permanent wards of the state. So when Trump says he will change immigration rules to give unemployed Americans opportunities to get good jobs, it sounds good. But what unemployed Americans are going to take hard jobs? He vows to stand up to countries that cheat us on trade. Good, he can do that. In 2 previous books, I called for tariffs on Chinese goods. Common sense. This is how sane nations work. You put tariffs on their goods if they're dumping on your shores and putting your own businesses out of business. I told you we once had a booming electronics industry in America. Let me go back. We had our own homemade televisions, if you remember. And they were, for the time, they were the state of the art. Then the Japanese copied the American technology. They stole it. And they developed the same or better televisions. And then they brought them in below cost. They started dumping on our shores televisions that were equally good or better, and they sold them for less than it cost to produce them in order to drive Sylvania, Dumont, if you remember those names from the 50s, if you can still remember them, General Electric. They all made televisions. They're all gone. They were destroyed by Japan's unfair trade practices. So if we had put tariffs on those television sets, then they would have competed on an equal playing field, and we'd still have our own domestic, manufacturing business. The same with many, many other industries. So trust me on economics. I know economics fairly well. I don't have to be a genius in the field to understand basic economics, which is protect your own people. Every country on earth protects its own industries. Every country on earth except America protects its own workers. Every country on earth has tariffs, so far as I know, on foreign manufactured goods that might threaten local manufacturing, except ours. So, in that regard, it's really a simple fix, which is stand up to countries that cheat us on trade and hit them with tariffs. He then discusses tough ethics rules for the Office of the Secretary of State. And, boy, would that be necessary. Because we know that Hillary Clinton was the most corrupt, incompetent Secretary of State in history. Any other one would have been impeached or put in jail by now. And her greatest disaster, which is a worldwide disaster that everyone should know about, and the one thing that you should remember that makes her incompetent and therefore unqualified for this office, in my opinion, is the fact that she owns the Arab Spring. It's been forgotten. You notice you don't hear them singing the Arab Spring song anymore? Do you remember how she sang the Arab Spring song in all of those early months until we saw what it was? It was another cockeyed liberal disaster that we would bring democracy to Libya. How'd that work out? We'd bring democracy to Egypt. How's that working out? we'd bring democracy to Syria. Now she wants World War III with Putin, who she called Hitler. And let me pause on that for a minute. She could bring us into World War III, she's so deranged. She had the nerve to call Vladimir Putin Hitler. He may be authoritarian. He may be somewhat dictatorial. But Hitler he is not. And for her to use such an inflammatory statement about a world leader who is nuclear armed with the toughest troops in the whole world, they're not into gender integration in the Russian army. The last I checked, the Spetsnaz did not accommodate transgenders. The last I checked, the Russian submarine force, which is quite significant, did not accommodate women on submarines. The last I checked, you get the picture. He's messing with the wrong bear. Obama called him bad names. Hillary called him bad names. Trump is the only one who said, I could do business with Putin. It doesn't mean he likes Putin. It doesn't mean he thinks he's the greatest guy on earth. But he's smart enough to know that the world does not need a world war. Hillary apparently is so deranged that she'd make a statement that we need what? To go to war with Russia? So she's very dangerous for this country. So I think the best thing to do now is play a little bit more sound and continue looking at the statements people are making. And I think the most important one right now is clip number 21, which we haven't played yet. Let's listen to this.
Perhaps the most terrifying thing about Hillary Clinton's foreign policy is that she refuses to acknowledge the threat posed by radical Islam. In fact, Hillary Clinton supports a radical 550% increase in Syrian refugees coming into the United States, and that's an increase over President Obama's already high number. Under her plan, we would admit hundreds of thousands of refugees from the most dangerous countries on earth with no way to screen who they are, what they believe, where they come from.
How could anyone disagree with that? A new poll, if you want to believe in polls or not, voters trust Donald Trump to keep America safe and favor a Muslim ban. Americans trust Donald Trump to keep a Muslim ban. It's a new poll from Morning Consult shows that 41% of Americans believe that Trump would do a better job of keeping the country safe. And the big thing is that Americans support Trump's proposal for a temporary ban on Muslims traveling to the United States. 48% of those polled supported the idea, while only 40% opposed it. 11% of the dummies said they didn't even know what they're talking about. They have no idea what a Muslim is. They never heard of the word travel. And they don't know what oppose means. They don't know what support means. They only know where IHOP is and how to stuff their faces. And this was a poll of 2,000 voters from June 15 to 18, with a margin of error of probably 100%, because these polls mean nothing. But the fact of the matter is, if you listen to clip 22, this summarizes everything that Trump was saying. Let's hear it.
Already, hundreds of recent immigrants and their children have been convicted of terrorist activity inside the United States. The father of the Orlando shooter was a Taliban supporter from Afghanistan, one of the most repressive anti-gay and anti-woman regimes on earth. I only want to admit people who share our values and love our people.
Now let's compare what Trump is proposing with the lunacy that we're living through right now. And that means that we have to play clip 3 again. This is Loretta Lynch's idea of the proper way to fight radical Islam. Listen to 3.
We stand with you to say that the good in this world far outweighs the evil, that our common humanity transcends our differences, and that our most effective response to terror and to hatred is compassion, it's unity, and it's love.
If only she meant that and directed it at conservatives, I would believe a word that comes out of her lips. So she has compassion with radical Islamists and hatred for conservatives. She targets Christian conservatives. She targets returning military veterans. She targets those who oppose abortion. She targets those who believe in family values as her enemy. And she has a common humanity with those who have committed terror. So, to me, it's a no-brainer who to vote for. Now, there's much more to be talked about on today's radio show, and that is the cover-up by the Obama administration of the acts of terror that have been going on regularly since he took power, and how incompetent or, you know, look, I'm trying to mince words here. I don't believe they're incompetent. I think they're far more intelligent than you may give them credit for. I believe they're covering for the Muslim Brotherhood. I believe that CARE has gotten their tentacles into this administration and dictates the speeches and dictates the policies of most of the leaders of this administration. As hard as that is for me to say, I can't see any other reason for this. They've even asked Attorney General Al Sharpton Lynch where the Orlando murderer's wife is. Listen to clip five.
The shooter's wife left the state of Florida.
Right now, I do not know exactly the answer to that. I believe she was going to travel, but I do not know exactly her location now.
The Attorney General doesn't know where the terrorist's wife is? The FBI lost track of her? Do you believe that? Or do you think she's hiding her? Do you think she's in protective custody? Do you think they safely transported her to Iran? I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646.
When I see the crumbling roads and bridges, or the dilapidated airports, or the factories moving overseas to Mexico, or to other countries for that matter, I know these problems can all be fixed, but not by Hillary Clinton, only by me.
No, he's a builder. He's a builder. So what, we're going to have public works projects? That's kind of big government? I mean, let's be clear. We can cheer all we want. But here we sit as conservatives, fiscal conservatives, opposing government works projects. And here's Trump saying that he'll save America partly with a massive public works program along the lines of FDR in the late 1930s. So, okay, great. Which way do you want it here? I mean, do you want a massive public works program? Well, then Harry Reid wants the same thing because there's a lot of graft in it. There's billions of dollars to be made. When you put out public works projects like this, you're going to have corruption and fraud like you can't believe. And speaking of fraud, to the credit of Loretta Lynch and the Attorney General's office, to her credit, and here's a woman who today announced the arrest of hundreds and hundreds of corrupt individuals around America who have been arrested and they're going to be tried for Medicare fraud, amounting to $900 million or a billion. I don't know what the number is. It's beyond belief. Now, I'm not shocked by this. I know that the shyster doctors, I've run into some of them along the way, and I ran away from them. I have a personal story about it that I'm not even going to talk about. But I actually have the names of the conspirators because we've done the research. To Loretta Lynch's credit, she has brought indictments against hundreds of corrupt individuals from one state to the next. And here's one of them, and I'm going to do a lot of them in the next hour. The conspirators who have been charged, for example, in the Central District of California, Robert A. Glazer, M.D., Angela Pogosov Avitsian, Ashtot Minasian, Marina Marino, and there's a lot of other names here. At all times relevant to the second superseding indictment, they were indicted first in January of 2015 and reindicted today. And who are they? What do they look like? They look like your neighbor. The conspirators include defendant Robert A. Glazer, M.D., was a physician who owned, operated, and supervised the ops of a medical clinic located at 5250 Santa Monica Boulevard, Los Angeles, within the Central District of California, the Glazer Clinic. Defendant Angela Pogosov Avitsian was the office manager of the Glazer Clinic, co-owner of Fifth Avenue Home Health, a home health agency. Do you have any idea what kind of corruption is in the medical system in this country? You're going to find out.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
What the American people have seen is a message of determination to remove hatred and intolerance from our midst, to live our lives freely and without fear, and to stay true to the principles of liberty, justice, and equality that define America at our best.
Get her off the stage. She's a flop. Keep it running. I don't care. She's a flop.
The evil.
She flopped
that our common humanity transcends
stage.
Our differences, and that our most effective response to terror and to hatred is compassion, to unity, and its love.
Everyone's talking about the derangement of Obama and Lynch. They both came out with a love statement after the massacre in Orlando. Does it get crazier than this? Yes, it will. Yes, it will, because when you have a deranged president, everyone around them is deranged. And that's what's going on. Do you think I enjoy saying it? Do you think I like saying it? Do you think I like putting myself at risk? Do you think I like challenging the most powerful people and the most evil people in the world? Do you think I enjoy it? You're wrong. I do it out of almost a desperate hope that by saying it, some people will finally come to understand the danger they're putting us in. Now, of course, that brings us to the speeches by Trump today and the liar. World-class liar, Hillary. Frankly, I think she should withdraw from the campaign. But as most demonic people are, and she is clearly one of them, she will never withdraw. If she had any decency, she would have withdrawn a long time ago, because I personally think that her evil is going to come out to the forefront and that she will not be able to control the results. And I personally think the safest thing for her would be to withdraw and let someone else run for the Democrat nomination. Will she do it? Never. Not in a million years. However, her disasters are coming to the forefront. The email server, the Arab Spring, the hundreds of millions of dollars funneled into the Clinton Foundation by foreign sources, the moving from Americanism to globalism, the amount of money she wants to spend on immigrants, the illegal aliens that she is going to flood us with, all this corruption will finally seep into the minds of the American people. So, again, the best thing I can do for you is to critique the statements that are made today by the two candidates for the presidency and let you decide, because at the end of the day, you're going to decide, not me. Again, to the credit of Attorney General Lynch's office, and you have to give credit where credit is due, they did make a bust today of Medicare fraudsters, who they claim that they've got them in the crosshairs, a nationwide series of arrests of doctors who run clinics, Medicare mills, and they claim it's $900 million worth of fraud. It's probably much, much higher than that. If the government can only estimate $900 million in fraud under Obama in Medicare, by the way, this is under Obama's watch. What's intriguing here is that you're saying, well, that's great. Hey, look at that. She cracked down on Medicare fraud. Well, how did it happen? How did it happen? Because apparently the investigators failed us. That's how it even happened to begin with. But anyway, so what is that about? What is this crackdown on Medicare fraud in the midst of all of the other stuff going on in the world got to do with you? Well, your medical costs, the collapse of our medical system. This is just the tip of the iceberg of what's going to happen when Obamacare really clicks into high gear. So let's go to some of the callers on all these subjects. I think they're very important subjects, and I want to hear what you have to say. And if you want to join the program and speak to more people than you will meet for the rest of your life, the phone number is 855-400-7282. But before we do, we have to hear Loretta Lynch again, who is way over her head in this job. We all know that the attorney generals are handpicked by presidents. We all know that they do what the presidents want. But there are levels of incompetence. I would believe Loretta Lynch has exhibited a level of incompetence that is dangerous for the United States of America, and she should resign. Listen to clip 4.
Whenever you look at someone's motivation or intent, whether they're living or whether they're dead, you look at their actions and their activities surrounding the event. You look at what they said, you look at what they did, you look at how they behaved, and you come up with the most reasonable interpretation, the one that fits the facts there. And so we do feel that as we continue to build a timeline and a chronology and to build his life, that we will be able to determine this. I cannot tell you definitively that we will ever narrow it down to one motivation. People often act out of more than one motivation.
She bends over backwards to avoid saying it's connected to his Islamic faith, connected to his Islamic beliefs, connected to his holy book. When he said himself he has an allegiance to ISIS, when he's killing all these gay people, and then narrowing it down to a motivation, they don't know the motivation. How insane does it get? I'm afraid, my friends, it's going to get more insane before it gets less insane. Because, well, you know, I've said it before, the eye that alters all. If you remember your William Blake from college, the eye that alters all. And Obama's eye has altered all. And the people he has surrounded himself with have altered eyes as well. Answer how I'm doing?
Okay, well, listen, you don't sound too happy today.
Wait a minute, ma'am, you're on a national radio show. Do you think you're calling your brother-in-law Izzy? The call screener should have told you, you don't ask me how I'm doing, because there's no answer to that. You don't know me. I don't know you. You're calling on a national show to say what about who? Please say it.
Okay, I'm calling to say that I think Trump doesn't know what he doesn't know. While I like him, and I think he could do a good job economically, I think he's way out of his league. We all would like him to trash Hillary in a debate, but I think that's why he's gotten as far as he's gotten.
You mean she's in her league? Her policies have produced good results?
There's a lot of corruption up there, and everybody...
Wait, ma'am, you're saying Trump is out of his league. Are you telling me that Hillary's, the results of her work as Secretary of State indicates someone who's in her league?
I'm not saying I'm voting for Hillary. I think she's a corrupt individual.
Okay. So you're voting for no one.
Get in there, and he's not going to know.
Well, ma'am, so who are you going to vote for? We know she's corrupt. We know she's a liar. You're saying he's out of his league. So what does that leave you?
It leaves us with a very, very difficult situation.
Yes, that's true. We all agree with that. It's not as clear-cut as I would like it to be. That's 100% true. But do you, as a woman who apparently is intelligent enough to see how corrupt Hillary is, do you actually think you'd be safer with several million more Muslim men in this country?
Absolutely not.
So on that basis alone, can't you make a decision?
Well, you have to convince the women that have to be convinced that Hillary is not going to protect them, that she's going to make the country more dangerous, or the woman under the age 35 who...
Well, but you believe that, don't you? Don't you believe that she'll make it more dangerous by bringing in more Muslim refugees?
I believe it's going to be more dangerous.
So why would you say then that you'd vote for her?
I would never. I never said I'm going to vote for her.
All right, so you don't like her, you don't like him, but it's a Hobson's choice here. Which is the lesser of two evils?
The lesser of two evils is Trump, but I think...
Thanks for the call. I'm going to sit here now, again, like I got nothing to do, like a party line. Let me get out a cigarette now and an iced tea and sit and listen to you ruminate on who you're going to vote for. You hear this? How are you? Look, I've said before, not to be sarcastic, please never ask me how I am. My grandmother, may she rest in peace, was from Russia. She didn't speak a word of English her whole life. But if someone would ask her, how are you, she'd say, how should I be? That's how she answered them. What do you mean, how are you? That's almost a ludicrous question to ask a human being. I know it's a matter of speech, but on radio it doesn't work for me, so kindly never ask me how I am. First of all, my moods fluctuate depending upon what I ate, what the weather is like, whether my allergies are acting up, what the news is like, etc. I don't feel very well today. It's not that I'm in a bad mood. I have a head cold, and it's affecting my equilibrium, which has almost never happened to me in my life. I've never felt anything like this, and I rarely take any medicine. I don't like medicines. I took an Allegra like an hour before the show. My equilibrium's completely shot. I literally have to sit here right in front of the microphone and not move around too much. So I'm focused completely on my work. But if you want to ask me how I am, I just told you how I am. Now can we go past it? And please don't call me with advice like stand on your head and say shalom four times or spin a Ouija thing or whatever, you know, or go surfing. Maybe I missed my calling in life, and I should have been a surfer, a professional surfer. The problem was there was no ocean in the Bronx, and no one ever saw a surfboard. I never heard of a surfboard until I was 20. I didn't even know they existed. I had no idea what they were. Had I known what surfing was, I might have considered leaving New York as a child, running away from home, and becoming a surfer somewhere in Maui. But I really didn't have that option. I had a very few career choices ahead of me. One of them was not being a surfer. I like the surfer life. It's fantastic. You're in tune with nature. They have a lot of fun. They're in great shape. I don't know how they are after the age of 50 physically, though. I really have to look into that, the health of surfers. I don't think they live that... Okay, what do you want to talk about now on the Savage Nation? Let's go to the next caller. WEZS in New Hampshire. John, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, just wanted to talk about what Trump was talking about with the immigration policy. I was thinking that he was talking about the H-1B, where if you changed that policy, you wouldn't be bringing in these foreign workers that are being...
Yeah, well, that's 100% true. If he stopped the H-1Bs, then Mark Zuckerberg might make $10 billion less a year, and he'd be really impoverished. And instead of hiring Indians or others, and I have nothing against Indian people, but I put Americans first, he'd put American IT workers back to work, and he would send the Indian folks back to their own country to build up their own country. I agree 100%. I've been in favor of stopping the H-1B loophole, which is strictly to enrich the buccaneers in Silicon Valley so they can make more money when they don't even need the money. Who's in favor of massive H-1B visas? Bill Gates of Microsoft, Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, Tim Cook of Apple. They all love the H-1B visa program so far as I've been able to tell, because they get cheaper workers that way and then kick Americans out of work. You know that and I know that, and you're 100% right. And thank you very much, and I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-IN. Alright, so it's Trump, Clinton, the dividing line, people are on both sides. Now we have a clear choice for national security. Someone who will fight ISIS and destroy them in their homeland and stop them from coming in and use terriers to root out the rats that are here already. Or someone as deranged as Clinton who will bring in more and express love for our worst enemies as though that's going to stop them from killing us. Rich on KSFO, you disagree? You think love will work?
Yes. Same thing that works in our family, in business, in government. In your family, in any business.
Stop with my family. My family are not radical Islamist killers who have been trained from childhood to kill in the name of their religion. What world are you living in?
I'm living in a world where human beings respond to hate and love differently.
Are you telling me that radical Islamists have responded to love in the history of the world?
Absolutely they have. For God's
where? Sake, wait, excuse me, sir, where? Give me an example.
In the United States, everywhere that they exist, there are hundreds of millions of Islamists all around us, Mike. The reason why they're not...
Wait, sir, now you said in the United States there are hundreds of millions of Islamics around us?
Absolutely. There's more than 2 billion in this world, Mike. You can't bomb them back in...
No, well, first of all, there's a billion Muslims, not 2 billion. And not all Muslims are Islamists. That we know from the guest I had on the show yesterday. Why is it that she wants to reform Islam? Does she believe love will reform them, or reforming Islam will reform them?
Everybody understands that basic tenet. Hate works for you because you make money.
Can I ask you a question? You're expressing stupidity and hatred at the same time while pretending you're not. Do you know anything about history, or are you just spouting philosophy that is foolish?
I absolutely know a little bit about history. Sure.
All right, you know a little bit about history. Tell me how Nazi Germany, which was a hateful ideology of Nazism, how were the Nazis defeated?
Through the love of other countries.
Nazism was defeated through love? Is that your idea of history? What college did you go to? The College of Dumbos?
If you didn't...
How was Nazi Germany defeated? Was Nazi Germany defeated through love or through bombs?
Being expressed by...
If, I'm asking, look, let's stop, look, stop wasting my time. How was Nazi Germany? And I use it as an example because the Islamist ideology is identical in many ways to Nazi philosophy. Okay, how were the Nazis, these ideologically madmen who hated Jews, who hated gays, who hated Americans, how were they defeated, through love or through bombs?
They were a country unlike ISIS. They were a country...
Oh, ISIS has no country? Have you heard about their homeland and their national capital in Mosul? You didn't read that in your history lessons?
That is a fiction. ISIS is a fictional... It isn't a country at all. It's just a group of...
Why don't you tell that to them? They call themselves the Islamic State. Tell them that... Why don't you find some ISIS members in America and go up to them and tell them that it's fiction that there's an Islamic State? What do you think they would do, treat you with love?
Eventually, what's going to happen to that...
Sir, what about those images of them cutting the heads of people or putting people in cages and burying them alive or setting them on fire? Is that their idea of love?
No, that's their idea of manipulating you. You are easily manipulated because if I show you something shiny...
Goodbye. I mean, this is stupid. This is a deranged, sick man. But I'm afraid there's tens of millions of deranged, sick people who think that you can fight hatred with love. That's something that works in a church. That's something that works in a schoolyard, in a schoolroom. But Loretta Lynch is not in a church or a schoolroom. She is the top police officer in America, and she has a job, which is to crack down on the Islamic murderers in this country and bring them to justice, not to express love for them. It's total insanity. And it's, by the way, a form of hatred for reality.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
The message of Orlando goes far beyond one night of unspeakable terror. The message of Orlando that I have seen today and what the American people have seen is a message of determination to remove hatred and intolerance from our midst, to live our lives freely and without fear, and to stay true to the principles of liberty, justice, and equality that define America at our best. We stand with you to say that the good in this world far outweighs the evil, that our common humanity transcends our differences, and that our most effective response to terror and to hatred is compassion, it's unity, and it's love.
Well, she seems to reserve her lack of compassion and her hatred for Christians, for conservative Christians, for returning military veterans, for people who oppose abortion, and the folks of that particular side of the aisle. And she seems to talk about love and peace and all of the 60s hippie crap against the Islamist enemy. Why is that? Is this liberalism or is this a form of a camouflage for working with the enemies themselves? Because nothing makes sense here. She knows better. She was a major league prosecutor in the worst times in New York City's history. As a prosecutor, would she have dared get up and say that we're going to take a rapist and express love for a rapist in an attempt to convert the rapist to some other state of mind? How could she make such a ludicrous statement unless she was told to do so by the genius in the White House? Which is, let's forget that, he's the most deranged of all presidents to make a statement like this. But let's talk about reality. The reality is liberals actually may believe this without living in the real world. They have no idea what the real world is to make a statement like this, that you fight this kind of ideology with love. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Tell that to the people who were raped. Tell that to the Yazidi girls who were living in rape. I forget the name of what they're doing. It's a rape on an industrial level. When ISIS captures a town with these poor people in it, they grab the young girls and turn them into, like the rape of Nanking, they use them for all of the degenerate vermin who come from around the world to fight for ISIS because they're all cowards and they're sick. And no sane woman would be with them. And so they give them these young girls to rape around the clock. Ask the Yazidi girls if they think love would kill them. Ask the Peshmerga fighters, the women who are fighting ISIS without America's help, if they think love would stop these vermin from their evil ways. They know the only thing that stops them is a bullet to the head, and that's the only thing that's going to win this war. And I hope that when Trump wins, he bombs Mosul and turns it into dust. I hope he turns it into dust, because by denying them a capital of their alleged Islamic State homeland, they will no longer have a recruiting poster for the other evildoers around the planet to come and join them in their homeland, the new Nazi Germany, instead of wearing a swastika, they wear another image. Instead of reading Mein Kampf, they read another book of hate. And they interpret their book of hate literally from a 7th century point of view. And you're never going to convert people at this level with love. Never. It doesn't work. It won't work in a schoolyard with a bully, and it certainly won't work against people like this. So why is she saying this? WMAL, Washington, D.C. Paul, go ahead on the love thing. Make your point. Paul, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Okay, Mike, my point I wanted to make is perhaps one of the smartest men that ever lived, reported to have ever lived. In fact, we quote him daily. He's quoted daily, and that was King Solomon. One of the things he said was, "A strong man keepeth his house." And our house, you know, we live in several houses. One of our houses we live in is our body. Another of our houses we live in is the house we actually reside. And then the big house we live in is this country. So, you know, that's not Solomon's advice to give love. He says a strong man keeps his house.
How did Solomon treat his enemies?
Solomon treated his enemies with a sword if they offended him or attacked him. But in his
he didn't bring out love beads, I understand that, and give them a joint to sing with him. You know, the best thing I can say is either these people are deranged or they're working for the other side. There's no other explanation for this, Paul. Either they are so twisted in their belief system that they're deranged, or they're actually working for the enemy themselves. What else would explain this kind of statement when she won't even say radical Islam?
Well, they're satanically indwelled, you know, and many in this administration are satanically indwelled. And that is the only answer, and that's the logical answer.
I want you to focus on that, satanically indwelled. What do you mean by that?
Well, they've invited Satan. They've committed acts and have thoughts that have invited Satan into their heart, and so they are an agent of Satan, so to speak.
You know, I called Obama demonic last week, and I had an African American man, a Harvard graduate, who called the show, a very religious Christian, who said that you hit the nail on the head. And I think we should get him on the show now, Robert and Jim, if you can find that gentleman's phone number. Because I asked him to explain what he means by demonic. And he said he's the Antichrist. Now, what is the Antichrist? I know from the Old Testament, Isaiah said, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that change darkness into light and light into darkness, that change bitter into sweet and sweet into bitter." I know that Isaiah saw this insanity in ancient Israel, and I know that we're living through it right now. But I wanted to know from that caller how this ends. Assuming that we have a demonic force running this country, which is apparent to me, there's some demonic, deranged force running this country. Everything is upside down. And Hillary would continue this demonic thinking, if you want to call it that, these demonic acts. Trump stands for the opposite. As flawed as he is, as imperfect as he is, I think he's the only thing we have to go with, frankly, and that's why I am for him. WABC Mike, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, my point about that guy with his crazy talk about love working, it's Obama's underlying philosophy and the way he forms policy, and he often says that these people are on the wrong side of history, so therefore we're going to win, just by saying that. But Hitler was on the wrong side of history, and it 50 million people died. And Stalin was on the wrong side of history, and 100 million people died. So are they saying we have to wait till 50 or 100 million people die before the right side of history finally wins out? And as you said, none of it worked until force was used. Reagan did it without actually having to fight a war, but he built up the military.
Do people know that the Nazis did not give up even after Germany was reduced to rubble by around-the-clock bombing, and that the Russians had to lose? The Russians lost 400,000 soldiers after Germany had been bombed into rubble. The Germans would not give up. Hitler had armed the old men and the boys with these tank killers. And it took 400,000 Russians to take Berlin. They didn't use love. They had to use blood, their own blood, to destroy this hatred. And for Attorney General Loretta Lynch to say that the most effective weapon at America's disposal against Islamic terrorism is love is a deranged statement and puts us in grave danger. That's my whole point. That it puts us in grave danger. Forget about the stupidity of it and the absurdity of it. It puts us in danger. So I don't know that love has ever beaten fanaticism. And I thank you for that call, my friend. We have the Christian gentleman on the show that I told you about. Welcome to the program. Are you there?
I'm here, and as usual, I'm just enthralled by the conversation and the observations. Speaking of Christ and Christians, Christians have a mistaken identity by identifying with love in the most inappropriate, counterproductive times. And that's what, Al Sharpton, Lynch, and Obama, the Antichrist, are trying to foist upon the Christian people.
I want to identify you. You're a caller. You claim that you're African-American and you're Harvard-educated, correct?
That's true.
But you're a devout Christian, and you said to me that you believe Obama is the Antichrist. What does that mean?
That means, since you asked me, it means he's the substitute Christ. It means he's the spurious Messiah. It means he's the false Christ. Before the Jewish Messiah comes back, Yeshua HaMashiach, before the Jewish Messiah comes back, Jesus the Christ, the false Christ, and he comes in on a white horse of peace with the world by pretending that he's Christian, like Obama's doing, when he's actually Islamic. And that's the term, Chrislam, is the term that applies to that concept. So he's an infiltration, as far as the infidata is concerned, or the jihad. But it's all goes back to 7th century Muslim philosophy of...
Look, the reason I invited you on the show is because you're not alone in your thinking. I think America needs to hear on a national radio show of this power how a large percentage of born-again Christians think and what they believe, because your voice needs to be heard. It may not be a large one, but it's a significant one within the Christian community. You're not the first Christian who said that to me. I've had other Christians say it to me, and I think America needs to hear how people think and what they think about this administration. Okay, so you say he is the Antichrist. You've explained what that means. And I ask you today on this program, how does this end? If you're into biblical prophecy, how does this end? Tell me what happens next.
What I just heard before, I'm going to address that and I'm going to tell you how it ends, because there's intermediate steps. But, you know, one thing Jesus says is not everybody is not a child of God. You know, he said in John 8:44 that those who were trying to kill him were of his father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks lies, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it.
All right, but wait a minute. In your biblical studies with your compatriots, you have very strong anti-Obama views. You call him the Antichrist, the false Christ, the false prophet, the false man of peace, a fellow traveler of the Islamists. How does this end in your prophecies?
Well, like I said last Friday when you asked that question, I said it ends by you standing up and others standing up with your instruction and your incitement into the real world to speak the truth, because truth will out. The word of God doesn't come back void. So the first thing is, and specifically about the Antichrist, he rises to power with flattery, and everything he does succeeds until a point. That point is when he takes a political wound. Most Bible teachers say it's a shot to the head or something. It's not. It's a political wound. And what we're seeing right now is the beginning of a political wound to the Antichrist, to Obama. We see his gray hair.
The man has been a Teflon Don from the day he entered the political stage. The man is never, ever, and has never, ever suffered a defeat. Are you telling me you think this is the beginning of him suffering a political defeat? Where is it? Where's the evidence to that?
Well, the evidence is that Loretta Lynch put out a statement on Sunday on Face the Nation and retracted on Monday when you were on the air talking about why did they take out Allah and put in God.
In other words, the outcry was so great against the deception and the big lie that she had to again reverse course, and she's just a mouthpiece for the Antichrist. Do you think that she is now the weak link in Obama's deception?
Well, she is a weak link, but then so was Holder. That's why he's gone with this Fast and Furious debacle.
Correct. They got rid of Holder because they know he was going to be indicted for it. Congress was ready to crack down. But we don't have too many months left in this holy war that radical Islam is engaging against the whole world. How are we going to survive the next few months when we have an administration that's deceiving us on a daily basis?
Through the truth.
Stay on the line. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUICOIN. We have almost no time to continue our discussion with Mr. Christian on what it means to have a demonic administration, but we're living through it. Whether you believe in that theologically is irrelevant. There's no other explanation for the acts that are occurring in the world, in this country, and the no reaction or the reaction that we're getting, such as we need to fight hatred and murder and terrorism and rape with love. I've never heard anything like this. Tell that to the feminists, that they need to fight rapists with love, and see what they'll say to you. I've never heard anything as absurd in my life. She's an intelligent woman, and yet they've got her saying things like this. Now, the latest big news is this hacking of Hillary's email server. I know it's old news, and you think it's BS. And Donald Trump referenced this morning, and it's important you hear why. It's important that you hear why you should care about Clinton and her behavior as Secretary of State. Robert, could you play that clip by Trump?
Then there are the 33,000 emails she deleted. Well, we may not know what's in those deleted emails. Our enemies probably know every single one of them. So they probably now have a blackmail file over someone who wants to be the President of the United States. This fact alone disqualifies her from the presidency. We can't hand over our government to someone whose deepest, darkest secrets may be in the hands of our enemies.
That's why he needs to be president. At least he's telling us the danger we're in and why we're in it. She's unqualified for this. She's unqualified, disqualified because of the Arab Spring, what she did to Libya, etc.
Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I read an article that I thought would be of edification for you. School records paint disturbing picture of Orlando shooter. They've already lost his name on USA Today. I'm shocked that they're still reporting him as Omar Mateen and haven't changed it to Omar Martin in order for you to in order to obscure any connection to Arabic. But remember him, the guy who shot up the poor gay guys? Remember? The Muslim? School records paint disturbing picture of Orlando shooter. Now, this is a USA Today article, and I go there to see the arch liberals, how they twist everything. So they're already painting it as a story about the fact that he was a disturbed child, not a Muslim. Not a jihadist, but a disturbed child, and he slipped through the cracks. Had we only had counseling and treatment, if we were only a more inclusive nation. Omar Mateen's behavior, marked by constant outbursts in classroom insubordination, greatly contributed to his academic struggles. He struggled with English. See, that's an example of why in America we should teach courses in Arabic, not in English. I mean, after all, there used to be an adage, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Now under Obama, it's when in America, do as you do and let the Americans drop dead. Remember the adage you remembered in high school, when in Rome, do as the Romans do? Romans were the center of the universe in that time, as we were before the invader came to the White House. And then I read, the main factor prohibiting Omar from success in school is not that the work is too hard, but rather his difficulties in conforming to class and school rules, sent to his father. Now, Omar on Sunday killed 49 gays and injured 53 at an Orlando nightclub. They've already washed it of gays. No reference to gays and Islam. And they said he had trouble from kindergarten on. He was disciplined 31 times, blah, blah, blah. He attended two kindergartens, one in an Islamic school in Westbury, New York. Oh, my God. How'd they let that slip into the article? I'm sure the reporter will be punished for that one. He had already attended two kindergartens, one in an Islamic school in Westbury, New York. Then his family moves to Florida, and they said that he was always a troublemaker. Now, of course, the article indicates that the reason he was a problem, because his first language was Afghani, and that was spoken at home. And since school in America is taught in English, that was offensive to him. So I was thinking that there must be some way to reach out to the future jihadis in America to stop them from doing it. And I think that we should consider adding certain courses to elementary school in America, that especially the ones we're bringing in now from Africa and the Middle East, in order to make young jihadis feel more included. We have to make our schools, Robert, more inclusive. So I think that elementary schools, all the way through K through 12, should consider special courses for the newcomers to America, so we're not seen as a non-inclusive nation. And so we could introduce throat cutting 101. How to slice a throat in one motion. Advanced wife beating. How to cut eye slits in a drape for your girlfriend. We could do other courses when they get older, such as identifying infidels. Or, let us say, by the 8th grade, roof throwing 101. Then, of course, when they hit 12th to 12th grade, we could introduce these courses. Media relations 102, how to turn everything into an affront to Muslims. And then media relations 102 would be, it's all their fault, how to blame every situation on the West and the Jews after you kill someone. Of course, in high school, if you want to be more inclusive in the future of America under Obama's flooding us with Islamic refugees, we could introduce History 203, how to keep your 7th century values in a 21st century world. And later on, there could be a master course on advanced chanting in schools and 10 steps to becoming a terrorist mastermind. So I'll be damned if I'm going to stop being sarcastic and start kowtowing to these bedbugs. I'm sick of it. I am so sick of the media being afraid of them. I hate it. The only thing we can do is fight back, and I will use what I have best. I don't fight back with an AR-15. I fight back with my brain, with sarcasm, with ridicule. This is why I won the Freedom of Speech Award after I was banned from entering Britain. I had only one weapon, against the Labour Party maniacs who banned me for entering Britain. They have Muslims in that country threatening to overthrow the nation, kill Christians, cut people's heads off, and they don't throw them out. But I'm not allowed to go to Britain. And it's a real shame for me. I've said it many times. I'm the only member of the American media not allowed to enter Britain. Since we have nothing left but our humor in this humorless world. And by the way, if you want to see what's not funny, the whole thing has backfired on the gun grabbers. The terrible, terrible shootout. It wasn't a shootout. It was a one-way job by the jihadi in Orlando in the gay club. Has caused gay communities to go out and buy guns in great numbers. Sales surge among gays and lesbians. So now this flies in the face of the Hillary Clinton campaign. Gun sales surge among gays, lesbians after Orlando shooting. I wonder why. Could anyone figure that one out? Denver, blah, blah, blah. Gunshots, blah, 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 blah. So they're getting a lot of them buying them all of a sudden. The Pink Pistols, is a national gun club for gays and lesbians. It saw its membership soar from about 1,500 members on Saturday to 3,500 on Monday. New chapters of the Pink Pistols are springing up everywhere. He said it's something he feels compelled to do even though he's heterosexual. He says, I look at it as a disenfranchised minority that needs someone who's willing to say, I'm a resource who's here and willing to help. Why don't we form a Pink Pistols here, a Savage Nation Pink Pistols gun club on the show to be in solidarity with our gay and lesbian listeners? I'm not going to form a club, but guys, you get the picture. This is the worst nightmare in the world for Hillary Clinton and Dick Durbin, which is that the one community of gays and lesbians that they thought they owned lock, stock, and barrel, they don't own by the barrel anymore. They don't even own it by the lock nor by the stock. They don't own this community whatsoever. The community knows, because they're very sensitive to hate, who hates them the most. And they know it's not the Christian right-winger, okay? They got that picture. They know who the haters are, so they're buying guns. The worst nightmare for Hillary. Who is she going to change her message to now? Who is she going to hate now? The NRA? Who is she going to attack now? Did you read about Hillary's huge Libya disaster, something I've been telling you about for quite a while now? It was she who created the disaster in Libya and flooded Europe with African Muslims and destroyed Libya. If you're insane and you want an insane woman who's dangerous running America, you couldn't make a better choice. Prior to the February 17, 2011 day of rage, Libya had a national budget surplus of, we don't have a budget surplus. Libya had a budget surplus of 8.7% of GDP in 2010 with oil production at 1.8 million barrels per day. Currently, under Hillary Clinton's disastrous Arab Spring policy, oil production has decreased by over 80%. Following the overthrow of Gaddafi, the Libyan economy has contracted by an estimated 41% and now has a national deficit of 17% GDP. So it seems like Obama is running Libya. Gaddafi did a better job running Libya than Obama is in running America. Because before the revolution, there's a great article on this, The National Interest by Charles Kubik, and it's entitled Hillary's Huge Libya Disaster. I already turned the dial. I can feel him turning. The brain-dead, drug-addicted Americans have just turned the dial. They're moving to NPR now. They want to hear Vivaldi music about how good Hillary is, how wonderful Obama is. Okay, my friends, the California Voting Rights Act, you know about that? Automatically registered to vote any driver's license applicants, including non-citizens and illegals. This is what Jerry Brown did. How do you think an incompetent like Jerry Brown could become governor? How do you think an incompetent like Mayor Lee in San Francisco could keep his job with such a corrupt city? How do you think someone like Dianne Feinstein, Nancy Pelosi, and Barbara Boxer can stay in office? How? If you give the right to vote to individuals who are not citizens, who don't even understand English, they'll do anything that their ward boss tells them to do. That's how it works. It's a total meltdown. So it's a miracle that we still have freedom of speech. And the fact of the matter is, if she wins, it's over. First goes, then the second. First, the second. That's how it goes. Today at a hearing on CIA intelligence activity, CIA Director John Brennan said ISIS is attempting to infiltrate operatives into the West through refugee flows refugee flows? The CIA? How could he be saying a thing like that? That goes against the narrative that is being put forth by Obama and by Hillary, that they're all coming here to work and worship, and that it's our American values to be welcoming. Even those who want to kill us, we should be welcoming to those who want to kill us. In fact, we should help sharpen their knives. If we're true Americans, we'd be open, welcoming. We would help sharpen their knives for them. We'd even help them with C4 explosive if we were good Americans. We don't want to interfere with their activities. Here, how could the CIA director say the Islamic State is attempting to infiltrate the West through refugee flows? First of all, we've all known that for a long period of time. He just found it out. And suddenly got a memo on it. I guess it was yesterday. We've been talking about it, let's see, since Stop the Coming Civil War, Government Zero. I think I even hint at it in my Teddy book, Teddy and Me somewhere, that they're infiltrating the West. It's like poodles are doing very well in the West, and all of a sudden people are bringing in dogs that want to kill them. And a poodle would even know that. It's the first thing a poodle would know. Animals know things. I want to shift, though, to something entirely different. Again, the voting began to the Hall of Fame. I'm one of four being nominated in the spoken word. This is the first time I know that the listeners themselves have the power, not the insiders in the industry, which I think is actually refreshing and wonderful. It's so simple, it's hard to believe. You text 36500, and you put in the word savage. Now, many of you don't have cell phones or iPhones. I know that many of the older people are saying, how can I do it? You call a niece, a nephew, a cousin, a brother, who has an actual thing called a cell phone. Remember those little things? Even a little old flip phone, the kind used by organized crime in New York, the kind used by immigration runners. They throw them in a garbage can. They buy them for $4 and use them and throw them away. You know those. And you can actually text on those old devices, Savage to 36500. And, I'm lobbying very heavily for it, because if I am not for myself, who will be you? Who's going to tell you about it? Someone else in radio is going to tell you to vote for me? Why do I want it so much? Do you think I need a little award on a mantle? What is it going to do for me? I'm looking forward to being at the Radio Hall of Fame. I think it's in November. And getting up and thanking my audience for supporting my message of borders, language, and culture all these 22 years. In other words, I'm using it as a podium to advance my agenda. I'm letting it out of the bag now because it's too late for them to stop me from being nominated. I've been nominated. They can't withdraw the nomination. I think I'm allowed to tell you to vote for me. Maybe if I violated the law, I don't know about it. No one said you can't. But it's my message that I care about more than anything else. That's the legacy. The legacy is borders, language, and culture. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. And welcome to the compassionate Savage Nation. Very compassionate, 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 conservative Michael Savage. Homeland Security is worried that right-wing extremists pose a greater threat than the Muslim jihadis. Now, my friends, the most important thing that you can learn from this show is called intelligent reasoning. You know, I actually hit a very important point, which was that we don't, in America, reject Islam or Muslims at all. We reject those who are coming in with 7th, 8th, and 9th century Muslim mentalities. We can't have them here. And so this is the idiocy of Barack Obama, who says that we're a pluralistic nation, we don't discriminate against any religion. Of course that's true. But when a religion teaches hatred for other religions, and when a religious teaching says kill the infidel, a logical nation says no, you can't come into the country because you're a bloodthirsty, psychotic, throwback murderer, and you're not coming in. So, Mr. Obama, there has to be some subtlety in your all-or-nothing mentality, you see. And your mentality should say, yes, of course, we welcome Muslims, but anyone who brings in the antiquated mentality of the 7th century will not be admitted, and we're going to test you for it. Yeah, right, sure. Right on. Sure that's going to happen. Of course we would love educated, moderate Muslims like the King of Jordan. Not, I mean kings. An educated Muslim fears the throwbacks more than you do. I've had them on the show. Educated Muslims know more than you do about the psychosis of the throwbacks. They would never permit them near them. And yet Obama welcomes them. Why? See, the question is not... Really, the question is, why is he doing it when all common sense says don't do it? His own CIA director today said that they're using immigration to get into the West, and yet he continues to do it. So you ask yourself, wait a minute, hold on. 441 Syrian refugees admitted to the USA since the Orlando attack. Why would he be doing that? Why would he be doing that? Well, see, there's two reasons. One, he is a pie-in-the-sky liberal who will never change his mantra or his agenda, no matter what facts hit him in the face, because he's just simply a, I don't know what to say, a true-believing humanist liberal. I don't believe that at all. I believe he's a bloodthirsty, blood-curdling monster, if you want to know the truth. But he's so good at it that you don't even see that side of him. So what do we, the people, do? Oh, we vote for Hillary Clinton. We bring in more Dark Age barbarians. Yeah, we bring in more Dark Age barbarians into America in order to be inclusive. Why is it that wealthy OPEC nations will not accept a single so-called refugee from their neighboring Muslim countries? Why? Answer that question, Hillary. Why won't wealthy OPEC nations accept a single refugee from their neighboring Muslim countries, Hillary? Maybe they're smarter than the morons running the country and the idiot who wants to be president. Incomprehensible that he's not impeached even now. ISIS is infiltrating the West via the president's stupid mantra. And his resentment for America and Hillary's overwhelming greed. That's the take-home message. My friends, and I tell you over and over again, like a broken record, we understand what's going on. The president is either incompetent or a fellow traveler. In the campaign, everyone calls the other one a liar. Everyone says they're going to do things they can't do. We know that. I'm a realist. I'm not a party apparatchik. I was never invited to the White House. I never had dinner with George Bush. I never voted along party lines. I've never registered as a Republican. I don't know if you know any of this stuff, but it's important to know. And I'm not comparing myself to others. You can check their own backgrounds. It doesn't matter what others do. All that matters is what I do. And I'm telling you that from my point of view as an American, concerned about my grandchild, concerned about the country that's been so good to my family, even though we've struggled from the minute my grandfather landed at Ellis Island. No one gave us anything. There was no secret handshake. There was no money waiting for him. He worked his heart out and died at 47. My father worked his heart out and died at 57. I've been working since I'm 5 years old because I choose to, not because I have to. In that sense, I want to make sure there's an America left. What Obama has done in the last 8 years is beyond comprehension to most of you. You would never accept that it actually is being done to you. And I think it all boils down to his hatred, both for the country, out of a sort of a malice that is borderline schizophrenic, if not outright insane. A country that's done so much for a man of such low character is hated by that very same man. Probably he hates the country for having bought his lies. I mean, I've read that analysis of others in the past. That anyone who would elect a man as such low quality to such a high place, he has to have contempt for such a country, thinking that they're stupid. To have fallen for his BS. So now, Trump says he's going to end amnesty and curb illegal immigration. And what is he going to do that for? He's going to use that money to help the poor in the inner cities get better jobs, meaning blacks, in plain English. Inner cities, as you know, is a code word. And he's trying to appeal to African-American people and saying, he's right, though. I don't know how anyone can't see this, but okay, that's another story, how they can't see it. How could bringing in millions of illegal aliens from Mexico, Honduras, El Salvador, now Syria and Africa, how can that help poor people in inner cities? How is that even possible? Every black politician should be supporting Trump, by definition. But, of course, they're not, because the money is on the other side. He says he's going to make better trade deals and bring jobs back to the inner cities. I don't know if he can do that. I mean, you can make a better trade deal. I don't know if that's going to transfer the jobs. I know that in my neighborhood, which is not in an inner city, I live near a so-called inner city community called Marin City, which is just north of Sausalito. And I know there was a Best Buy there, and it lasted only a few years. And now it looks like Detroit. It's been boarded up. They tried, the county tried to force this corporation to put a Best Buy in this neighborhood, which they did. And for reasons you could well understand, it's now boarded up. The rest of the county is thriving. There's no other boarded up stores in the whole county. But down there, in that community, I think through pilferage and whatever, and then people were afraid to go down there, it's gone. There's nothing there. It's a boarded up warehouse. So I really don't know that doing better trade deals is going to change people's attitudes about what they're responsible for and what people have to do on their own. Do you want more Islamists in America? Do you want more anti-gay, anti-woman, anti-American immigrants? Or do you want fewer? I mean, it's really, to me, it breaks down to that. So she's giving a speech in Raleigh, which, as expected, is ludicrous. We know all political speeches are ludicrous. Hers has risen to a new low. Or shall I say, fallen to a new low. She's going to tax the very corporations that made her and her husband worth $300 million. They started with nothing when they left the presidency. Now they're worth $300 million. The Clinton Foundation, the Clinton cash machine, as we well know, receives money from foreign donors, corporations. And here she's saying the rich need to be taxed more. Corporations can't evade taxes. The tax code is written to favor the rich. Who does she mean? Does she mean Google? Does she mean Microsoft? Does she mean Facebook? What does she mean the rich? Which corporations are not paying their fair share, Hillary? Because everyone I know is paying more than their fair share. So maybe you know some corporations that aren't, because I don't know any that aren't paying their fair share. I think they're the ones who support you and Harry Reid. They're the ones who support you and Nancy Pelosi. So she hasn't given a press conference with any questions for over 200 days. Over 200 days since the last press conference. Now she's giving a speech. So what can I say? Which side I'm on? You know which side I'm on. You know exactly which side I'm on. Is he perfect? No. Is he flawed? Yes. Does he have a bit of the blondie in him? Yes. So what? So what? That's what we need in order to defeat our enemies. I told you that from my point of view, the most important issue is national security. Without national security, we're all dead or we're slaves. Right now, we have Islamists running wild in the streets. We have Islamists running wild in the Obama administration. And Obama will be gone, hopefully, by the beginning of January. There'll be a new president. Hopefully, it's Donald Trump. And he will release the terriers on the rats. He will release hundreds of terriers to catch the rats and snap them in their jaws. Do you know, when I say the Islamists are running in the streets, do you know what happened? Did you hear what happened or didn't make it to Wolf Blitzer's earbud? Remember the Orlando murderer, the Muslim guy, whatever his name. I don't remember his last name, Mateen. I can't remember his name from one minute to the next. Remember the wife drove him to the shooting? You know the FBI doesn't know where she is? Can you believe what I just said to you? The FBI claims it does not know where Mateen's wife is, the Orlando shooter. How is that even possible? Did they let her go? Are they hiding her? Did they release her so she wouldn't be able to give out the fact that it was an ISIS plot? Where is she? How could they lose her? Well, Obama's running the country. That's how they lost her. So as I say, when Trump becomes president, I think that the terriers will be released and all the rats that are running wild in the streets and running wild in the government will be snapped up in a very short order. So that's why I'm voting for Trump. The rest is gravy as far as I'm concerned. And the best example of the insanity or derangement of this administration, and you do need to hear it, is the speech that Obama gave after Orlando calling for love. Not calling for war against ISIS and crushing them wherever they can be found, but love. He actually gave a Beatles speech, "All We Need Is Love," but it got worse. The new watchword from this deranged administration is love. So in his footsteps, there comes Al Sharpton Lynch, in a speech that will have to go down in history as one of the most deranged, disconnected in political history. Listen to this soundbite about how to fight ISIS. Listen.
The message of Orlando goes far beyond one night of unspeakable terror. The message of Orlando that I have seen today and what the American people have seen is a message of determination to remove hatred and intolerance from our midst, to live our lives freely and without fear, and to stay true to the principles of liberty, justice, and equality that define America at our best. We stand with you to say that the good in this world far outweighs the evil, that our common humanity transcends our differences, and that our most effective response to terror and to hatred is compassion, it's unity, and it's love.
I'm speechless, and I'm in the business of speaking. This woman has weaponized stupidity. Loretta Lynch has weaponized stupidity and absurdity. There's almost no words to describe how incompetent she is. If she actually doesn't believe what she just said, she could hardly read the words written for her by someone more foolish than you could imagine. So let's try to put this in context for those of you who believe Loretta Lynch is qualified to be Attorney General, as much as Jay Johnson is qualified to be Department of Homeland Security's chief, as much as Obama was ever qualified to be president, because they're all connected. They were all appointed by him. He appointed those two people. She made a laughable statement that we should fight terror with love. So let's see. We go to the battlefield, where we have our heroes on the battlefield, and we tell them not to shoot the enemy, but to put a flower in the edge of the end of their M4s, put a flower in their barrel, and go out and kiss an ISIS killer on the lips. What in the world do you think this will lead to? Do I have to put it in context for you? Do you realize if our troops in World War II had a Loretta Lynch or an Obama in power, they never could have gone to war and defeated Hitler's Germany? Do you know how severe that war was? Nah, what's the point of talking to you? Do you know what it's like to face an enemy in a schoolyard? Do you know what it's like to even face a schoolyard bully who wants to punch you in the nose, let alone somebody who wants to cut your throat and rape your wife and burn your village down? So, I mean, I could go on and on this all day long, and it's not going to make any difference, because I wrote this when I was 18, and I think it still holds true. Those who know will always know. Those who don't will never. There is look at the faces of the dummies that Hillary Clinton picked to sit behind her during her idiotic speech just now in Raleigh, North Carolina. The dumbest looking people you could ever gather from the streets of America. It was 80, 90, 95% dumb white women, two white males who look like they're on medication, and a slew of black women waving flags saying this is Clinton country, etc. Is this her demographic? I'm afraid it is her demographic. Okay, so this is agitprop. We understand that that's the same for everyone who runs for office. There's no grist here. I get that. She takes tens of millions of dollars from corporations that evade taxes and says she wants to tax corporations. Trump, let's specifically look at him, says massive factories will come back, inner cities will be rebuilt. He says construction is what he knows, and wages will be going up along with new jobs, jobs, jobs. Trump says Clinton's open borders policies will drive down wages and get rid of even more jobs. Well, the question is, how could anyone who is African-American or Hispanic and poor vote for Clinton when she wants to bring in millions and millions of workers to compete against them for low-wage jobs? Trump says he will change immigration rules to give unemployed Americans opportunities to get good jobs. Now, I don't know how he's going to do that. I don't understand how that's going to work, frankly. You change immigration rules to give unemployed Americans opportunities to get good jobs. You see, look, there's a problem with this rhetoric, and that is reality. I read of a Buddhist monk who said, never argue with reality. When I'm facing a problem in my life that I can't work out in my head, I go back to that statement, never argue with reality. In other words, what is that reality? You just got fired? You can argue in your head all you want that you shouldn't have been fired, it was unfair, the person who did it was no good. But the reality is you were fired. Or, God forbid, you get a diagnosis that you have cancer. Don't argue with reality. shouldn't have happened to you, it's unfair, God's no good. You better live with reality. Don't argue with reality. Go and get treatment. Well, it's the same with this statement by Donald Trump that he will change immigration rules to give unemployed Americans opportunities to get good jobs. Well, do they want to work? Are you telling me that the 50-some-odd percent of bums in America who don't work are going to work? Have you driven around a city recently and seen all of the bums who don't work during the day? They don't work. Why would they work? All of a sudden you think they're going to take a low-wage job? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. So each morning I bicycle by a construction zone where these guys, they're all Mexicans or Central Americans. They look mainly like Mexicans. They're the hardest workers I've ever seen in my life, and they're strong. These are strong people. And they work from morning till dusk without complaining. They work from morning till it's dark without complaining. They built 5 houses in a row. Now they're building 4 new houses. And I've watched them dig the ditches. I've watched them lay the rebar. I've watched them pour the cement. I watched them fix the cement. From the beginning to the end, I've watched these men build these houses. Are you telling me that the poor in America are suddenly going to take jobs in construction if we bar illegal immigrants? Are you telling me that the poor in America who have grown up without working, who have grown up hating the country, who have grown up living on the government dole, are suddenly going to be able to get up at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the morning and show up at a job site at 5:30 or 6? Because most of these men commute for 2 hours and they don't complain about it. They can't live in the neighborhood. They commute for 2 hours, they show up at 6:30, and they break their backs all day long on a job site. Are you telling me that in America we're going to have people take those jobs if we stop bringing in illegal immigrants? No, they're not going to. This is the problem. I think we have a permanent welfare class in this country, and I don't see how you're ever going to make them work, personally. You could say all you want. They should work. They have to work. They will work if they have to work. You can say all you want. They're not going to work. They're not going to work. They're permanent wards of the state. So when Trump says he will change immigration rules to give unemployed Americans opportunities to get good jobs, it sounds good, but what unemployed Americans are going to take hard jobs? He vows to stand up to countries that cheat us on trade. Good, he can do that. In 2 previous books, I called for tariffs on Chinese goods. Common sense. This is how sane nations work. So if we had put tariffs on those television sets, then they would have competed on an equal playing field, and we'd still have our own domestic, manufacturing business. The same with many, many other industries. So trust me on economics. I know economics fairly well. I don't have to be a genius in the field to understand basic economics, which is protect your own people. Every country on earth protects its own industries. Every country on earth except America protects its own workers. I want to shift, though, to something entirely different. I want you to do me a favor. Here's what I want you to do. You type the name Savage into your text device, and then you send it to 36500. And if you do that, you will help elect Michael Savage to the National Radio Hall of Fame, because I deserve it. If I didn't deserve it, I wouldn't tell you about it. I'm only running against 3 other people. And since I've been a pioneer in the spoken word, since I'm far more creative, inventive, entertaining, informative, educated than everyone else in the history of radio, I deserve the award, and I want to be in the National Radio Hall of Fame. I think it would be a real honor for me, and then the only way I could win is if enough listeners text all their friends and people on their social lists to say, type the name Savage and send it to 36500. This is the first time I know that the listeners themselves have the power, not the insiders in the industry, which I think is actually refreshing and wonderful. It's so simple, it's hard to believe. You text 36500. And you put in the word Savage.